Welcome to the gathering. I'm Charity, and I get to be one of the pastors here. I'm so glad that you're worshiping with us today. If you're new, I want to remind you or let you know that when we prepare worship, we prepare it with you in mind. And so we see this as a time of spiritual growth, challenge, as well as inspiration. When I get the privilege of preaching, I love to invite people into the preaching moment, that this is a pregnant moment, a time of transformation and possibility. And so one of the ways we can preach together is by you sharing your reactions and your responses or comments in the chat wherever you are. It's also okay to talk back to the screen. Like, it's a good thing. Just say what you're thinking or uh-huh or oh yeah. Or maybe you're one of the people who desires to really ponder what's happening, to take it all in and to let it marinate. Feel free to come back sometime during this week and share something that resonated with you. Earlier this week, I was asked if I believe that the church could be transformed from within. My answer was, I'm banking on it. You see, when Christianity was became a ruling religion, an empire religion, it lost its identity. It lost its identity as subversive, countercultural, underground. It lost this identity of being people who following after Jesus, committed radical acts of resistance. And so today, when I look at the church, I'm asking about its power. Are we just sitting on our hands? Are we just holding on and hoarding power? Or are we really using it to bring about the transformation that Jesus called us to? Power. Today, we're talking about power. Power that is shared power, subversive power, empowerment, power within, organized power. What does that look like today? I believe that in order for us to witness and lead in the ways of freedom, justice, deliverance, and even new life, is going to require from us a different kind of power than we have been used to practicing. This Wonder Woman series is personal and communal for me. I mean, I stand here today as a woman in ministry because of the collective victories of so many who've gone before. I stand on the shoulders of women who preached but were never called preachers. On the shoulders of women like Jerena Lee, who was the first woman to preach in the African Methodist Episcopal Church. And I even stand on the shoulders of women today who march, who speak out, who protest, who hashtag say her name, and countless others. I publicly shared my call to ministry on a Friday night in a Women in the Bible study. Now, before you start thinking that I was like this holier-than-thou college student, you'd be wrong. Because the weekend before, I had kicked it and partied really hard, and I went to this Bible study really out of guilt. But as I was there, I continued to wrestle with this call to ministry that I had been feeling, that I had been really pushing away. And so it was in this Bible study that I shared that I believed that God had called me to preach. And at that time, the woman who was leading the Bible study became a spiritual mentor to me, my godmother in the ministry. Further, I acknowledge today that I stand on the shoulders of women who protested, who wrote for the right of women to vote. This week, we celebrate the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment. And at the same time, just seeing how the 1965 Voting Rights Act has barely stands today, as there are so many tactics to subvert and keep people from living into their power. Voter suppression tactics are impacting the power of the people. Each of us has power. But the question is, what kind of power and for whom do we use it? Today, you might be feeling powerless, like the world is happening all around you and that the world is happening to you and that you have no control. Or maybe you feel like you know what kind of power you have and you're consciously making decisions to use your power for good and not for harm. Or maybe this conversation about power is all new to you. Well, two midwives from Exodus chapter 1 will be our power instructors today. Well before Moses was demanding, "Let my people go," Shifra and Puah, the midwives, were ensuring that he and countless other boys would even be born. the story as we prepare to read the scripture, let's hear a little bit of the context. The Hebrews are in Egypt, and they've been welcomed in Egypt. And up until this point, their lives have gone fairly well. They were growing and flourishing in this city. Then there was a change in power. There was a change in leadership. And the new Pharaoh was troubled by the sheer number of the Hebrew people. And so he sought to enslave them. He sought to use his power over them, to dominate them. And so they became people who did harsh and hard labor. But even under this harsh treatment, the Hebrews continued to thrive and they continued to grow. And so the king finds yet another way to rule and to exercise his power and preserve his position. So let's hear in Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom one name was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, "When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared or revered God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?" And the midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them." Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that God provided households for them. Now, one of my power plays in the scripture and in preparation for today was to center the voices of Jewish women, to center their interpretations and their commentaries about this scripture in particular. This practice allows a marginalized verse, a marginalized voice to shape our understanding. And what I found is that there is some ambiguity in the text, in the scripture, about the identity of the midwives. Were they Hebrews or were they Egyptians? And does it matter? First, the first argument for the women being Hebrews is the language. Their names, Shiphrah, which means beautiful, and Puah, which means little girl, are Hebrew in origin. There is speculation that this was potentially a mother-daughter team or maybe a teacher-apprentice pairing. Now, the other point for these women being Hebrews is that it speaks to the perceived extent of Pharaoh's power. That he was so powerful that he could demand a Hebrew woman to go back into her own community and kill off the boys. And that this demand and command and his power was so fierce that these women would actually obey him out of fear for their lives. The second argument is that the women were Egyptians. Perhaps like taskmasters or overseers, they oversaw the enslaved midwives. And so they would have taken this command from Pharaoh and shared it with the other women in an effort to do what Pharaoh was calling them to do. What's interesting is that the scripture says that the Hebrew women they feared God, that they honored God, the God of the Hebrews, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so in this context, we would have Hebrew women, we would have Egyptian women who were believing in the God of the Hebrew people. Now, you may not think that identity matters because Hebrew or Egyptian, the midwives use their power. They are courageous and they resist the king and they courageously act on behalf of the Hebrew community. But identity matters. Identity situates us. It locates us. And so whether you stand within the community in which you serve or you stand on the outside of that community as a person who is connected and compassionate, who is doing acts to accomplish freedom and deliverance, you have power. Hebrew or Egyptian, marginalized or majority, you have power a power to lead and aid in the transformation of freedom for yourself as well as for others. You've got power today. Now the question remains, what kind of power do you really have? And so we look at the first kind of power from this scripture. Shifra and Pua were before Pharaoh together, shared power. It's possible that they worked together as midwives, sharing the task of bringing new life into the world. When I was pregnant with my first son, Gabriel, I had a midwife. And part of our work was identifying who was going to do what when it was time for delivery. Because bringing new life, bringing justice, bringing something new into the world requires teamwork. In ancient times, it was common for up to three women to support a woman in childbirth, one on the left, one on the right, and then one to catch the baby. Today, as we look at what it means to share power, we have to remember that it's important that there would be mutuality and trust, humility, and some sort of security in one's own gifts. Even more difficult, however, shared power requires those with more power to consciously step back and create space for others to live and lead in their power. The second kind of power is the power to resist. Power to resist. The midwives' action was simply to do what they had always been doing, allow baby boys to be born. But this act was directly defiant and an act of resistance. For some, your act of resistance is to keep on keeping the home, to keep doing what you've been doing, to not let up, to not become complacent in the work, to not get overwhelmed in the work that you're doing, whether it is justice work or having hard conversations or even taking care of those babies who are sitting at the table during virtual learning during the school year. For others, I believe that our very existence is resistance. Our very existence is resistance. In the words of Austin Channing Brown, I'm still here. It is a mantra. It speaks to the power of not only surviving, but thriving. Now, I can't help but to get emotional about this story from scripture, because the Pharaoh was calling for the death of marginalized baby boys. Well, I have two little boys, Gabriel and Levi. You can see their pictures on the screen. And I feel the pain of having them being birthed into a society where infant mortality rates are higher for blacks than they are for whites. Having them been born into a society where there is a real school to prison pipeline and there's someone is just waiting down the line to funnel them and other beautiful black and brown and poor children into prison as a form of genocide. This story gets into my heart. And so that's why in my house, we're resisting society's plots. We're resisting with our own act of resistance. Earlier when the pandemic began, in order to sort of onboard and get our kids, my sister and I, to get our kids engaged in learning, we gave them permission to name our homeschool. And so they named the school Black Genius School, and their mascot is Marvel's Black Panther, and their colors are black and gold. Friends, every week there's something added to this new school that they have created. The Black Genius School is different because the children get to choose the themes or the topics that we get to learn about. And then we take time to figure out maybe one hands-on thing we can do with them as it relates to whatever theme they've identified. And then we share with them a known or a lesser known African-American person who fits the theme. Now, this just started as a way to keep them engaged, to keep them occupied so that we could get our work done. But it's become an act of resistance. It's become a way for them to see themselves recognized, recognized and represented in their own education. And it's given them voice, some agency to even decide the curriculum that we would choose. So the question today is, what might some of your acts of resistance be? Will you enable people to get to the polls? Could you support someone in getting their absentee ballot or their mail-in ballot notarized? Maybe you'll be tutoring children virtually. Whatever your one act of resistance is, I want to invite you, either today or sometime in the future, to write it into the chat, because I believe we can come around and support each other as a community as we do and lead in these acts of resistance. Third is subversive power. Subversive power. When Pharaoh learns that the midwives had not done what he had commanded, he asked them why. And they reply with this: because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. They use this bias that the Pharaoh has against him to prove that they had done no wrong. The midwives seemingly elevate the Egyptian women while demeaning the Hebrew women. Some commentators say that saying this is the equivalent to saying that the Hebrew women deliver like animals, that they don't even need help. They do it so quickly and no one even needs to show up to support them. This negative bias against the Hebrew women is thrown back into Pharaoh's face and used as a strength and a reason why the baby boys were continuing to be birthed. This tactic is reminiscent of songs in U.S. slavery, where there would be songs that would be encoded with directions to freedom in Canada. This tactic is similar to the subversive networks of houses that would hide Jews away from the Germans. What if we got clear on the biases and the prejudices that we hold about particular communities? What if we began to dismantle those, work to alleviate certain words and phrases and thoughts from our own minds, as well as the minds and the hearts of the people in our households, as well as those we work with? What if we connected with networks of community organizers to work with people to challenge the status quo and to go against business as usual, the business as usual that's rarely ever checked? Shifra and Pua's story, it stands on their own. These are women who are courageous, who resist the powers that be and save the lives of a generation of boys. And at the same time, their uses of power play a pivotal role in the liberation of the Hebrew people. For among the Hebrew boys that was saved, there was Moses, the one who would be floated down the Nile River in a reed basket, the one who would be picked up and the one who would grow up in Pharaoh's palace, the one who would say, "Let my people go," and cross over the Red Sea. Wilda Gaffney, professor of Hebrew Bible at Bright Divinity School, said that Shifra and Pua are the beginning of the Exodus out of Egypt when they deliver the deliverer. They deliver the deliverer. Shifra and Pua are the ones who faced a dominant power with shared power. These women outsmarted Pharaoh with his own bias and saved their lives and the lives of the community they served. Instead of going along to get along, they performed acts of resistance, which led to the existence of the Savior, Moses. All of these acts were rooted in what we understand to be a belief and a fearing and a loving of even being in love with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And for all of this, God granted the midwives a household. God put them in charge of a house. This house would become known as the house of the Levites, the house of the priestly order, the house from which the lights of Jesus and John the Baptist would be birthed and give us new life. With the right kind of power, positioned with marginalized people, we too can deliver liberation, new life, and justice. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, we acknowledge your presence wherever we are. We acknowledge your power wherever we are. We pray that your power would activate and motivate and move us into action, that our power wouldn't just sit around, but that it would be used, that we would be able to see on the other end of that power how you are making yourself known. God, grant us courage to speak truth to power, help and remind us of our commitment to our acts of resistance. And when we fear, circle us in our community. Have our community come around us to hold us up, to share that power with us and push us into the direction that we're called to go in. God, may your church, may your people be people after your own heart, people who deliver freedom, people who deliver justice, people who deliver new life. This we pray today in the mighty name of Jesus, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.